All right, boys and girls, gather around. Here we go. It's another edition of the John DeBella Show Daily Podcast. It's Tuesday morning. Dave here on July 14th. It's all the best stuff all over again for your listening enjoyment. We talked the Redskins name change that we're told will be happening, yet we still don't know what it will be. We heard about the fetish of cake sitting today. Exposed three COVIDiots of the day. Talked diseased animals that may be in our future. Hit the phones to hear about your teenage posters that were on your wall. We took the long way home in song stories today. Heard about a Krispy Kreme deal that may be too much to handle. And talked to musicologist and author, our good buddy Chris Epting. He was back and we were rambling with him today. Find out for yourself right now. It is the Daily Podcast.
I love this. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, but I love this whole Washington Redskins thing where, you know, they make this big announcement. We're changing the name, and then, but we don't know what it is yet.
Yeah, seriously, give us some closure, bro.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, can't tease us like that.
Instead of hanging there, especially for Dan Snyder, who I will never, and you can put that in capitals, I will never change the name.
Part of the issue is there is a guy who has trademarked like 40 names that could possibly be the team.
I love that.
Nickname.
He's like one of those jerks that buys up websites.
Red Wolves, the Red Tail.
Holds the corporations captive. It's a great troll move.
He also has locked up the Monuments, the Generals, the Americans, the Veterans, the Renegades, the Justice, and the War Hogs.
I did see something that someone...
The War Hogs. It's like XFL.
They should just be. They should be the Washington Radskins.
The Radskins. And have like real 90s font.
It's awesome.
Neon colors.
All right. Why don't you just change the name to the DC Redskins?
Yes.
Maybe they'd be better.
Yeah.
That'd be better. Or like anything else in DC, the spineless, you know.
Swamp monsters.
Spineless swamp monsters.
I like that. That'd be perfect. I'd buy merch.
The John DeBella Podcast.
I can't hear anything. I think it's gone.
Philadelphia's classic rock.
I can't hear a thing you're thinking.
102.9.
Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful?
MGK.
Classic rock. Whoop.
Did you just hit your head on the mic?
No. My glasses. My glasses.
It's been 2 weeks.
Got caught on the shock mount on the microphone, and the shock mount worked. Right? You heard the noise. Didn't have, but it's, never mind. 70 degrees outside right now. Temperature getting up to about 86. I've got good news for you, Steve. This is so right up your alley.
All right.
I realize that hot chocolate isn't something you're necessarily thinking about
right now. No.
But Swiss Miss Hot Chocolate has just teamed up with Lucky Charms. And yes, there's going to be Lucky Charms marshmallows in Swiss Miss Hot Chocolate.
You know what? No.
No,
really?
No.
Oh, you're a purist.
I don't. Well, one, why would I have Swiss Miss when we have this wonderful Dunkin' coffee bar that has hot chocolate in our kitchen? I don't like Lucky Charms marshmallows.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay. Crap. Wow.
But what are your marshmallows? Like Lucky Charms, don't you?
Not really.
Oh, really? I thought you were Lucky Charms person.
No, Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Get it right, John.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'm a Cinnamon Toast Crunch person also.
Oh, I hate Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Okay, good. More for me.
My favorite. No, my kid is a Lucky Charms kid, and he will just eat the marshmallows.
I was going to tell you, there's a store that I go to that sells just the marshmallows.
But don't buy it.
Right? You can buy bags of them.
That's ridiculous.
Bags of just the marshmallows.
Small pieces of soft
chocolate. That's what I got to get Steven for his birthday.
That would
big
be
old bag of marshmallows. Get them all sugared up, right? And have Steve have to deal with it.
Steve's a jerk. He would pour them in like Special K.
Drive over. Dude, well, you know me and sugary cereals, and I put fruit in it. When you buy that, John, just drive over to my house and put it right in the trash can.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, fine. All right.
Right next to the pitchfork.
Speaking of food, Lindsay Dye is a woman with a lot of jobs. She's a cam girl. She's a sex worker.
All right.
She's an artist. And now she has a role that combines all of those jobs.
Sex worker, cam girl, artist.
She's a cake sitter.
What?
Oh,
weird.
All right,
okay.
Right. Now,
she doesn't watch your cake while you're out for a date.
No, she does something completely different.
No.
What, you know, if you're asking yourself what a cake sitter is, it's exactly what it sounds like. People log on to her site, right? And she's got a chat room with video, and they pay money to watch her bake a cake and then erotically sit on it. How does what is the difference between a normal sit and erotic sit?
A layer of fabric.
Right. Yeah, well, that and everybody requests, I'm turning one.
Right. Oh. Oh, God. She began his career as a cake sitter when someone asked her to sit on a cat and crush it. And he was like, no, but I'll sit on a cake. Right?
It's a couple letters off.
You know, Hostess couldn't be far away when it comes to this.
Want a tasty treat? Then try Host ass cakes. Yes, these are the only cakes that a woman has sat on first.
Honey, what's this?
I made it myself, and I sat in it.
Oh, Yeah, here, do it again.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's some tasty cake. Sit on some more and some more.
New Host ass cakes.
Oh, yeah, I love the way that ho-ho Susie Q is putting her zinger on my snowballs.
In stores now.
The John DiBella Podcast.
There's something unholy about this.
Philadelphia's classic rock.
You must be prepared for the consequences.
102.9.
What about consequences?
MGK.
I know I've said this before, but I definitely thought that by this time I would not be doing this anymore. I thought maybe by this time people would be smartening up, but no, it ain't happening at all. I got not one, not two, but three stories for you this morning.
Okay.
Let's start with the conspiracy theory that is going on, that coronavirus test, the one with the deep nasal swab thing, right? They're secretly implanting something in your head.
Yikes.
This is what people are believing, all right? Okay. They're putting something up there so they can track you,
yep.
All right? So there's one set of COVID idiots. Here's another, and this is how unprepared we were for a pandemic. Houston is having trouble tracing coronavirus cases because they're relying on the labs faxing results to their one fax machine.
Oh, man.
Wow.
How do we still have fax machines?
Right? You know. And then lastly this morning, as we all know, Florida just broke the record for the most coronavirus cases in one day. And people there are still holding anti-mask rallies.
With all due respect, you are an ass.
Whoa!
With all due respect, you make me sick. With all due respect, plug up your pothole. With all due respect, you don't deserve no damn respect.
The John DiBella Podcast.
I'm a man who likes to talk and sing with children.
102.9 MGK.
Speaking of the pandemic, are you ready for this one?
Mm-hmm.
All right, the residents of Jefferson County, Colorado, are being warned of squirrels that are carrying the bubonic plague.
Oh, cool.
Is that what August has in store?
But yes. No, August will probably be Ebola hamsters. And then September will have AIDS ferrets, right? You know.
Are you sure there's? This is Colorado, you said.
This is Colorado.
I think they just got some strong weed happening.
Is that
out there.
Really?
Yeah.
It's
I mean,
possible.
Come on.
Yeah, but I'm like, bring it. I don't even care anymore. Bring it on, 2020. Yeah. I mean, bring on your murder hornets and your bubonic plague hamsters or whatever the hell is squirrels. Right? I've had it. I'm ready. You know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I'm fighting
I'm
it all
with
off.
You.
I got it. I've got superpower. Well, you know, remember what Vinnie Brand said? I won't get it because I have type O blood.
Oh, that's right.
Yes,
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you.
Because we always depend on Vinnie for medical science.
The John DiBella Podcast.
Oh, well, you ain't pregnant with a bucket of chicken?
102.9.
Kiss my bare ass right now in front of all these good people.
Nobody can understand what you're saying.
MGK.
So I've been watching this series on Amazon, Hannah.
Right? Okay.
And you know, it's another one of those super spy children. Right, and you know, another woman with incredible fighting powers.
Was Hannah a movie?
Yes,
okay,
it was.
So okay, right. I know what you're
this
talking
is
about
based
then.
On yeah. that same okay. film, right. But this is the second season of it. And there are all these girls that are in this school, and they have, you know, posters on the wall. And it started getting me to think, what poster? I'm going to open this up for everybody. So call us here in the studio, 215-263-WMGK. What poster did you have on the wall when you were a teenager?
Oh. I don't think I really put a poster up until I got to college. And I
really?
Think
Mr. Sports over there?
Yeah, I don't know.
But they didn't have fat heads at that time.
They didn't have posters of me.
Right. So that's it. Talking about fat heads.
Then I did find a poster of me, and it was John Belushi from Animal House with that college sweatshirt
oh,
on.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, so that was, I think, the first one
that's
I
that's insane
up.
That you're referencing Belushi, because for me, it was the infamous Jose Canseco, Mark McGuire, Bash Brothers poster from the 90s.
From
do you remember
when
that?
They were on the A's?
Yeah, it was Stand a take there? Off of the Blues Brothers.
Okay.
Which, growing up without a TV, I didn't even get the parody. I just thought they were dressed up in fedoras and glasses for some reason. No idea.
Cindy, what about yourself?
When I was in college, I had a poster of Barry Manilow over my bed, over my dorm bed.
Really?
So when you could lay in bed, you could see Barry Manilow on the ceiling.
What you had it on the ceiling?
Yes,
like a mirror.
You realize that he had no interest in you to this day, or any other woman for that matter.
That's true.
Wow.
I had two posters, and it was, and each one was a poster of four people. I had the Richard Avedon Beatles poster where they're all wrapped in the black cloth, and it's just their heads with the black background.
Okay,
it's a great shot, right? And the Marx Brothers.
Oh, really?
So
just the random Marx Brothers thing?
And the four Marx Brothers, right?
Nice.
Those are the two posters in my room. But I'm curious, what did you have in your room? And by the way, if you call in with Farrah Fawcett, we'll accept one Farrah Fawcett, right? But if you call in with Farrah Fawcett, and after we have one, we're going to turn you down.
Dude, my dead grandfather still has that poster up in his room. My grandma won't move it. It's still there.
No.
I might have a picture on my Instagram. I'll try to dig
it up. The one in the red bathing suit?
Yep.
Oh, my
still
God.
Still there.
Oh, my God.
And Marilyn Monroe as well. Still
I'm curious to see how the age of our listeners changes to what they have.
To what the posters are?
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
So 215-263-WMGK, when you were a teen, what was the poster in your room? You know what? I forgot to mention about these posters, and we're curious as to what poster you had on the wall when you were a kid.
Sorry, this is a dentist office. Apparently,
that's not just.
I mean,
it's got to go through the mics. That is literally my floor is vibrating.
I'm trying to talk through it.
John was being a pro, but it was just you couldn't deny.
All right, they're working on the floor below us, and they're drilling into the concrete. That is our floor.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, literally, my feet are vibrating.
Right? But no, but I was going to ask you if you've got, we were curious as to what the poster was that you had up when you were a kid. But there's something that you two weren't part of, which was there was also the black light posters where you would have like this day glow paint and you would have a black light in your room and the whole thing. And then if you were really fancy, you got the black light poster on velvet.
Oh, wow.
So you could paint Elvis.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, you know I have one of those.
Yes,
so
it's still in our office.
But if we're curious as to what your poster was when you were a kid, so call us here in the studio, 215-263-WMGK. But right now,
you know the bands. You know the songs. This is the history behind them. Classic Rock 102.9 MGK presents Song Stories.
John Helliwell, who was the saxophonist, really a jack of all trades for Supertramp. Right? He not only played, you know, the signature clarinet solo, the rare clarinet solo that happens in rock, right? On Take the Long Way Home. But when he came to doing that live, he had other challenges.
I always found that rather difficult to play on stage because I'm trying to sing and play the synthesizer at the same time on that. I mean, I don't take the lead or anything, but it was kind of tricky vocal arrangement. Lots of vocals overdubbed on the album.
The John DiBella Podcast.
A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush.
102.9.
I have no bird. I have no bush. God has taken my bird in my bush.
MGK.
By the way, Dave, I know you're a man who likes a bargain.
Yeah.
Right? And you might be interested in the fact that on Friday, Krispy Kreme turns 83 years old.
My God.
And to celebrate, they're giving anyone who goes in the store a free dozen donuts.
Really? No catch?
As long as you buy a dozen donuts.
Yeah, I'm out. Sorry, bro.
It's like, you know, come on. Give away a donut. All right.
Right.
You just give away just give away a donut.
Just give me
if
a
you
BOGO.
Want to, like, you know, for the amount of people who can come in and buy a dozen and want a second dozen, just give a donut away. It's our birthday. Here's a free donut.
If I return home with 24 donuts, my wife says, get out.
Oh, God.
And take those with you.
Oh, Lisa would kill me.
Yep.
Lisa would kill me.
You're just asking for trouble.
But somehow, eight of them would miraculously disappear.
It was the dogs.
The John DiBella Podcast.
I like to picture Jesus as a ninja. Fighting off evil samurai.
Philadelphia's classic rock.
Oh, my sweet Jesus.
102.9.
That's right.
MGK.
The question at hand today, and we started asking this earlier, is, well, basically, we all had them, right? Steve had the John Belushi college poster. All right, Dave, what was yours?
Jose Canseco, Mark McGuire, Bash Brothers.
All right. I had the Beatles and the Marx Brothers, mm-hmm. right? What was the poster on your wall when you were a teen? Call us here in the studio at 215-263-WMGK. We'll start out with Matthew.
Matthew!
Booyakasha!
Booyakasha!
I had a collage poster of Wayne Gretzky and Kobe Bryant on my wall.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Now, was that something you made yourself?
No, I think my mom picked it up at the at Booze Corner down in Philly.
What, that is so weird that there would be a custom poster with Kobe Bryant and Wayne Gretzky.
I bet it was L.A. Gretzky, right?
Oh, it had to be.
Yes,
L.A.
it was. Yep, it was L.A. Gretzky, and the greatest part was I was just terrible at both of those sports.
That's funny.
Ben, what about yourself? What was your teen poster?
Organa Baseball's Kissing Bandit.
What?
Oh.
What is that?
Yeah, it was like a blonde girl that would always run out and smooch them while they were playing, right?
Yeah, well, why have them settle for one woman when you could have three in one?
I agree.
There was
three of
them?
I'm talking about, but I'm with you.
No. He's trying to say that this woman was three women in one.
Oh, she was large.
In one area, she was very large.
Oh, okay.
She was basically kissing them from first base to home plate.
All right.
Joe, what about yourself? What was your poster?
I had the Lisa Lyon and the Molly Hatchet album cover.
Who?
Lisa who?
Lisa Lyon, who was a fitness act. Like, she was one of those first girls who had the posters out for gyms and everything.
Okay.
And a Molly Hatchet album cover. I'm 55.
Molly Hatchet.
All right. All right.
Nice dichotomy.
And more than likely, she was in, like, one of those, you know, Danskin suits that was, like, lime green pink.
It was a white tank top with black suspenders and a white, like, thigh-high bottom.
Not that you can recall it that exactly. Brian, what was your poster?
I had Zeppelin all over my room.
How many Zeppelin posters did you have?
I had like four. I had a nice Jimmy Page poster. That was nice.
Let me guess. So you had Led Zeppelin 1, probably, and 2.
No, I had like collages of Zeppelin, but they were actual posters.
Oh, okay. Cool. Have a good morning. Nancy, it's about time we got a woman on the air. What were your posters?
As a teenager, my sister and I actually cut out every picture of a rock star and Tom Selleck as the Marlboro Man, and we glued them to a whole wall in our bedroom.
I don't recall Tom Selleck ever being the Marlboro Man. I mean, the Marlboro Man was the Marlboro Man. He was a model that did that for years. I don't ever recall Tom Selleck.
No, you're right. No, you're right. Actually, it was, but we just thought he was so handsome.
Okay, yeah, he was a great-looking guy. That man created thousands and thousands of cases of cancer.
I never smoked myself.
Carl!
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Who is your poster person?
Frank Zappa.
Or to put it as Frank would put it, yes.
And it was Phi Zappa Krappa sitting on a toilet.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Have a good morning. Randy?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Oh, okay. Oh, Randy's very serious about his poster talk. What was the poster in your room when you were a teenager?
I had a poster of Disney characters. In the left-hand bottom corner, Mickey is shooting up. In the right-hand bottom corner, Tinkerbell is doing a strip show for Captain Hook.
Wait, Randy, can I take a guess of where you got this poster?
I do not remember.
Oh, it had to be Spencer's.
What are the dwarfs doing?
Each other.
The John DeBella Podcast.
I get it.
What? Are you missing a couple of buttons?
Philadelphia's classic rock.
Strictly for laughs.
Strictly for laughs.
102.9.
You know.
MGK.
That's not bad. It's pretty clever.
He's the man who gave us "If There's a Bustle in Your Hedgerow," 50 lyrical lines that helped define the 70s. You know, Chris, I got to tell you, there are times where I'll be playing a song on the radio and it dawns on me that I will never see that band perform again. And one of them is, of course, the Allman Brothers. That band's been dying for as long as they've been together.
It's true. And they, you know, once they started, you know, they just say losing members back in the early 70s, they did still manage to put out some incredible records.
Mm-hmm.
I saw them live back then, and they were always an incredible live band. The tune we're talking about today was actually the first single written in the wake of Duane Allman's death in 1971, Ramblin' Man.
for a lot of people, this is kind of like the defining Allman Brothers tune, which is interesting because it is after Dwayne. Me, I like sort of the earlier stuff better. Mm-hmm. But Dickie Betts put it together. The title, Ramblin' Man, is an homage to the 1951 Hank Williams tune of the same name. And it's mostly autobiographical. I mean, he wasn't born in the back of a Greyhound bus, but his dad was a construction worker in Florida, and they were on Greyhounds all the time, moving, you know, frequently. And so that's where that line came from. And there's other lines in there, too. There was a buddy of Dickie Betts, as he used to say to him, oh, I bet you're just trying to make a living and doing the best you can. And Betts loved that line and wrote it down, and when he put the lyrics to the tune together, put that in there. And what I love especially, the ending of the tune, that sort of great, those ride-out dueling guitar solos,
right.
That was inspired by Layla. If you remember the great out jam of Layla. They loved that a lot. Dwayne played on that, obviously. And so they brought in Les Dudek, the great
guitar
Dudek. Player.
I haven't heard anybody mention his name in 25 years.
Yeah, he came in to play that duet part with Dickie in honor of Dwayne. And so there's that sort of emotional piece to it, you know. And again, like you say, the tragedy just kept on going. The Allmans played this in the premiere. Remember the show In Concert on ABC?
I'm sure applauding on that. I was at that show. They filmed it in Hofstra.
You're kidding.
No.
Well, then you know the Allmans played there, their first national TV appearance. They play Ramblin' Man, and that was Barry Oakley's last performance. Bass player died in a motorcycle accident a week later, and the show aired after his death and was dedicated to him. So a lot of drama in the Allmans, but this classic Allmans tune has kind of a cool backstory. And again, it's sort of attached gently to Layla, which I always think of when I hear it.
Well, there's everything behind Ramblin' Man. He's got to get rambling. We're going to get music back on the air. It's Classic Rock, 102.9 MGK. That show, that In Concert show that they did for, it was for ABC, and it was the first two they did were the Allman Brothers and Alice Cooper, and they did them both at Hofstra.
Weird pairing.
Well, they did them both. They weren't on the same bill. They recorded them the same day.
Okay, so.
Right? Or it might have been 2 days. I can't remember.
Dickie Betts out in the Alice Cooper makeup.
Right.
With a snake around his neck.
No, but it was, I mean, it was so incredible because, you know, I was a theater major, so I was like on the crew, and I got to be there for both of those shows, their entire shows. And I remember telling Alice about this at one time, where you know below the stage there was the green room and all of the dressing rooms, and I come walking through, and this is the first time, you know, I'm a kid in college, I'm like, you know, 19 years old, and I come walking through, and here comes Alice Cooper, full makeup, everything going on, with a giant albino, you know, anaconda or something around his neck, boa constrictor, some giant friggin' snake that was with him for years. Right, you know, and you know, and I'm just like, I think that was the most scared I ever was in my life up to that point.
And he definitely wasn't sober if it was like 69.
Yeah, yeah. Oh no, he was not sober at that time at all.
That's wild.
But you know, but he did clean up his act. I wonder what ever happened to that special. I'm surprised that hasn't shown up on
not on eBay,
but on Netflix or Amazon, because they're always doing those. That,
like throwback specials.
And there's a great special.
I'd love to see it.
Oh, you never saw it?
No.
Oh, it's so good. I wonder if I still have it at home. All right, but if I do, I'll bring it in. But it is a great Alice Cooper special, and it's Alice. Basically, he produced it himself. It's his biography.
Oh, cool.
Said, I'm doing this.
The John DiPella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.